Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marcia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Sanction regime gone wild is perhaps how the United States' obsession with sanctioning Iran could be described. Now the dangerous construction industry in Iran is being sanctioned. Steel tubes and anti-corrosion brazing foils, which have been sanctioned, can be quite threatening. You may actually use them to build buildings, but really, what does the U.S. want by all these sanctions against Iran? Stay with us as we take a look at all of this on this debate.
The administration of U.S. President Donald Trump is notoriously aggressive when it comes to Iran. Since May 2018, when the U.S. president pulled America out of the international Iran nuclear deal, Trump's team has been unrelenting in trying to mount pressure on Iran. America's maximum pressure campaign has become a brutal war, rarely, if ever, waged against any other nation. Trump's weapon of choice? Tough economic sanctions. The White House has tasked a team at the U.S. State Department to devise and enforce any measure they can think of. From Iran's oil sector to its petrochemical industry and banking, no stones unturned. The campaign has been indiscriminate. For instance, many firms and financial institutions which are vital in importing medicine have been blacklisted by the U.S. State Department. There have been numerous warnings against the dangerous policy. It's having a grave impact on Iran's civilian population. A few days ago, Human Rights Watch warned that the broad sanctions have seriously limited Iran's ability to purchase humanitarian goods, including medicines, threatening the people's right to health. But for Trump, the end seems to justify the means. This week, in a defiant move, Trump's team imposed sanctions on Iran's construction sector, claiming that it is directly or indirectly controlled by Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps. The measure is believed to cause housing prices to soar further. The latest sanctions were announced just days after Washington launched a mechanism to allow, quote, permissible trade to support the Iranian people. America usually defends its sanctions policy, claiming that it is aimed at changing the behavior of unfriendly governments. But has America's maximum pressure campaign changed Iran's course? Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif said the latest sanctions further reveal the failure of Washington's policy. Zarif noted that the U.S. can sanction every man, woman, and child in Iran, but Iranians will never submit to bullying. The top Iranian diplomat said instead of digging itself deeper, the U.S. should abandon its failed policy and return to the nuclear deal. Tensions between Iran and the U.S. have soared to rarely seen levels since the U.S. scrapped the deal, also known as a Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Two sides even came closer to an open military confrontation in recent months. The U.S. says its intensified anti-Iran campaign is aimed at forcing the Islamic Republic to sit down and negotiate a new, more comprehensive deal. It is now doing all that it can to make it impossible for the remaining parties to the JCPOA to preserve it. But Tehran insists that it will never capitulate to coercion. Tehran says America's withdrawal from the 2015 deal destroyed what was left of America's credibility. In response to America's withdrawal, Tehran began reducing its commitments under the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action months ago. It says that it will scrap more commitments if the U.S. refuses to lift its sanctions. Since May 2018, Iran has somehow managed to resist the harshest sanctions ever imposed against any country in history. For Iran, the worst of the storm seems to be over. The latest sanctions are unlikely to have a serious impact on Iran's resolve.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, publisher and editor, Politics First, Marcus Papadopoulos, out of London, and political analyst and founder, AK Consulting, Adriel Consanta, also out of London. Welcome, both of you, to the program. Well, let's start this off with Adriel. Why do you think the U.S. is so obsessed with sanctioning Iran?
Well, you know, the United States is so much obsessed with sanctioning Iran in order to change the people's behavior in Tehran so that the people, by you know, meeting the consequences, the harsh consequences of the sanctions, will somehow abandon the support for the current regime, and by this very means will affect the United States through its sanctions, through changing the behavior of Iranian people. They somehow think that Iranian people will contribute to the regime change attempts by the United States by withdrawing its support for the current regime. So I think that it's pushing the Iranian society to the limits in its goal to somehow get rid of the current regime in Tehran.
Well, Marcus, I mean, since Washington has been sanctioning Iran for just about 40 years now, and Tehran is still thriving, isn't that a sign that the sanctions really are not effective?
Well, the case of Iran is a major demonstration of how America is morally bankrupt, because here we are again with a fresh round of American sanctions on Iran, which in essence are targeted at the Iranian people, which will adversely affect the lives of ordinary Iranian men, women, and children. That demonstrates on its own how wicked and shameful American foreign policy is. But I think it also demonstrates something that I have said on Press TV for a number of years now, that whilst we can never rule out or ignore the possibility that the Americans could embark on some sort of military crusade against Iran, I consider the military option to be most unlikely due to a number of reasons. What I, however, do believe is that the Americans feel that placing sanctions on Iran is, in Washington's opinion, the most viable way of achieving a long-term objective, an objective which has been around for four decades now, ever since the Iranian Revolution, which is, of course, namely, to overthrow the Iranian government and to impose a pro-Western compliant government in Tehran. That is what the American objective is. I believe they feel that if you target Iran's jugular, which of course is its economy, then of course the whole house will come crashing down.
Well, but they have been targeting the jugular for 40 years, as you said, and the house hasn't come tumbling down. So one would think, Marcus, that after four decades of trying to bring down the house and seeing that they have not, that their techniques or tactics would change. Well, let me give this over to Adriel. Why do you think that we're continuing to see the same thing, just trying to put more and more pressure? I know you said earlier because they want to try to change the existence of the Islamic Republic. But one would think that when you've tried one option so many times and it has failed, that one would try a different option.
This is not clearly the case when it comes to the United States, and as you've described, this is a perfect prescription for a madness, according to Albert Einstein. But regardless, I mean, jokes aside, what we have on the table, as the previous commentator rightly said, they have only a viable option, which is sanction or the war. And if, I mean, United States is mad. I mean, the Washington hoax are mad, and they're really bloodthirsty when it comes to the current regime in Tehran, but they are not as mad as we could assume that they are mad, because war is not an option for the United States. That would be a huge embarrassment for overblown military achievements and military might of the United States. That's why they can't allow themselves to enter.
Why isn't war an option if their goal is to overthrow the government here in the Islamic Republic of Iran? And if they see that sanctions really haven't brought down, why wouldn't they use the war option to try to totally overthrow the system? Staying with you.
Yes, because they don't want to be seen as a bad guy. So it is a rhetorical game. So they want to frame. I think we need to understand the American exceptionalism. So that they, as also what I can recall the previous commentators say, that they are on the crusade. And the crusade is strongly aligned with the strong sense of American exceptionalism, that they are the good guys, and those malign international powers like China, Russia, and Iran including, they are bad guys. So they want to somehow rhetorically make a claim that they don't want to enter the war, because then the international public will see, I mean, we all already see what is happening now, but the broader public will see that they are the bad guys. They don't want to be the bad guys.
Well, Marcus, do you agree with that analysis? Because we have seen the United States, when it wants to get into a war, frame it in so many different ways, whether we're talking about against Iraq, war against mass destruction, and of course we know weapons of mass destruction, WMDs, and actuality there was nothing there. They create their own scenario in order to try to get the American public's support. So is it really about worrying about what others think? Is that the main reason that Washington has not gone the war route so far? Or your take on that?
Well, there's a number of issues at play here. First of all, whilst I hear what my fellow guests said about the American government, and I am sympathetic to it, I wouldn't describe American policymakers as insane. I would describe them as psychopathic, and I really do believe that American policymakers, largely speaking, are psychopathic. Secondly, America has demonstrated, certainly in the last 30 years or so, that it has no commitment to international law. It has no commitment to the United Nations, and it certainly has no commitment to telling the truth. It creates a pretext. For example, it bombed the Serbs on the pretext that the Serbs were committing genocide, which of course was an utter and grotesque falsehood. It invaded Iraq on the grotesque falsehood that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. It bombed Libya, or its NATO allies, the Americans gave its consent to Paris and London to bomb Libya, on the grotesque falsehood that Colonel Gaddafi was preparing the ground to slaughter every single citizen in Benghazi. And of course, the Americans have created this pretext for its sanctions that Iran is looking to develop weapons of mass destruction. And if Iran has weapons of mass destruction, then the peace and stability of not just the Middle East, but of the wider world would be in jeopardy. The Americans are pathological liars. Thirdly, you talk to me about why the Americans won't, in my opinion, embark on a military crusade against Iran. Well, because Iran, the Iranian military, is not the Iraqi military, and it's certainly not the Libyan military. The Iranian military is very large, is very powerful, is very well led. Morale amongst its troops is very high. And that was demonstrated during the war of aggression against Iran by Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein received weapons from the most powerful countries in the world, and yet who was supplying weapons to the Iranian military? No one was. Indeed, much of the Iranian military's arsenal was obsolete. They were relics. And yet, look what happened on the battlefield. The Iraqi aggression was repulsed. And I think the Americans looked at that war and they thought, well, the Iranian people are natural fighters. And whilst Iranians will have different views when it comes to politics, they will subscribe to different ideologies, which is perfectly natural, perfectly normal, perfectly acceptable. When it comes to defending Iran, when it comes to defending the Iranian people, when it comes to defending Iran's independence and sovereignty against any country in the world, then the Iranian people will head to the front line en masse in their millions. And that is why the Americans will not resort to a military option. They believe the way to do it is to bring down the Iranian economy. which I don't believe will happen because the Iranian economy is robust.
Right. Well, Adriel, the U.S. Continually says it does not want the Iranian people to suffer in all of this with all these sanctions. Your take on this?
Well, this is a perfect example of cognitive dissonance, because what America is saying is slightly different what the impact and the implication are on the ground. So I would also agree with the commentator who said that they are pathological liars. But it is all about the language. They say something and they make something different. But it is perfect in line with what they are doing. They want to deceive the general public, but due to the access to the internet and variety of different opinions and variety of different media outlets, people are changing their mind, even at the universities, by observing and reading and listening to different commentaries and different takes on what is happening on the ground. And I think that America has largely felt itself when it comes to improving the world, because apparently the only problem in the world is America and its foreign policy, not the world itself.
Well, Marcus, what message do you think that the United States is trying to send to the rest of the world with the sanctioning regime? And what message is Iran sending to the rest of the world by not giving in to Washington's bullying?
Well, ever since the end of the Second World War, the Americans have employed sanctions and military force against any country in the world which is of geostrategic importance and which follows an independent foreign policy. Now, we can say quite clearly and unequivocally that by employing sanctions and or military force against certain countries, the Americans are sending a warning to the rest of the world that if you oppose American global hegemony, then you will pay a price. You will pay an almighty price. We will either bomb you into submission, including dropping uranium as they did on the Serbs in 1999, or we will invade your country. We will destroy the infrastructure of your country, or we will send Wahhabist terrorists into your country to massacre tens of thousands of people, as the Americans did when they supported and facilitated the arrival in Syria of Wahhabist terrorists. Or they will cite the example of Iran, but also Cuba, by saying, we have the most powerful economy in the world, and if we want to cause abject pain and misery for the civilian population of a country, we will do so, because that is what happens when a government opposes American diktats. Now, conversely, Iran, a gallant country, a gallant people, has resisted and resisted effectively American aggression for four decades now. Iran is not a particularly large country. Its population isn't, relatively speaking, particularly big, but it just shows if a country has a soul, if a country is patriotic, if a country is prepared to make sacrifices for its people, for its history, for its culture, for its religion, for its independence and sovereignty, then that country can even defy a superpower. And Iran has shined a beacon of light to other countries in the world who are being targeted by Washington, countries such as Venezuela. And in that, I am mightily impressed and mightily proud of the astonishing achievements of the Iranian people in the last 40 years of keeping that rotten government, that is, the federal government of the United States of America, out of their country. Because let me tell you this, the Americans hate the fact that the Iranians worship God. The Americans want the Iranian people to worship the dollar, and the Iranian people, whatever their ideology, whatever their politics, will never tolerate that and will never submit to that.
Well, Ariel, do you think that other countries are now waking up to what Washington is doing, not only to Iran, but even forcing other countries to abide by its demand and not even have transactions with Iran? Is this going to backfire as it affects more and more countries, not only sanctioning Iran, but those who want to do business with Iran?
I think that it is already backfiring. I think that even within European Union or in Europe, people are starting to see that the transatlantic relationship is becoming quite toxic. I think that due to the emergence of great powers like China and Russia, small countries which were so far bullied by the Washington DC are, having much more confidence in supporting the very values that have been mentioned by the previous commentator, the sovereignty, the love for the culture, the love for the heritage, and love for the God. Because as also the previous commentator rightly said, the America as a corporation, because we have to understand that the concept of Americanism is a corporationism. So in order to subdue other countries, in order to put into place this vassalage, they want to other people to start worshipping dollar, or as others call it, mammon. But many countries and cultures like the Persian culture, the Iranian people, Chinese and Russian people, they do believe in slightly different values than the value of money. And okay. I think that it's giving a strong emphasis for the other countries and strong support for having a belief in its own values rather than
and on that note,
getting other values from the America.
I'd like to thank you both for being with us as we come to the end of this debate. Publisher and editor of Politics First, Marcus Papadopoulos, out of London and also out of London, political analyst and founder, AK Consulting, Adriel Consantan. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing off for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Hope to see you next time.